It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Well, students are going to soon be heading back to school, some as early as August 18th and others during the week after. Joining us today to talk all things education is Tuolumne County Superintendent of Schools, Kathy Parker. Superintendent Parker, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for allowing me to come and share the great things that are happening in Tuolumne County, BJ.
Very good. And, you know, first thing I want to ask you about is Governor Newsom and state education leaders made an announcement on Wednesday that all school staff members must either get the COVID vaccine or test weekly. You know, what was your reaction to hearing that news?
We were, again, a little surprised at the release time for that. Usually CDPH and the governor's office reaches out to a variety of educational partners to give us a heads up that something is going to be coming that will affect education. This was something that we were alerted to literally the evening before the press release. We're not really surprised that this came forward because we have been seeing various sectors, industry sector employees having these requirements placed on them. What was interesting about this is that it's really not quite a vaccine mandate like you see in the health industry field. What you see is that people still have an option. They can either provide their employer a proof of vaccination, or they can engage in weekly testing, either PCR test or the antigen test, in order to monitor and make sure that the COVID-19 spread isn't prevalent in the school environment when school starts. So while we were surprised at the timing of it, we weren't surprised that it actually came out.
Being that Tuolumne County has various school districts, you know, at this point, would it be your office that would oversee testing, or would it be the individual districts?
We have been working since November 20th. On November 20th, we received, as a county office, permission to participate in a pilot program. And that was a PCR testing program we were doing through Color Lab and the state lab. And we were able to roll out testing for all of our employees at our county office. As that pilot program proved successful, we were able to roll that out to other school districts who were interested in participating. Almost all the school districts participated, providing voluntary testing for their staff who wanted to participate at a school site rather than traveling to a state facility or a state testing facility to become tested. There were sometimes long lines at those state testing facilities. You couldn't make an appointment. And so there was a lot of convenience. And my staff, because of the nature of the programs that we provide through the county office, we required our staff, all staff, to participate in the weekly PCR testing. So that actually has been in place at least as an option for almost all school employees. As the year rolled on and we received sports guidance in the springtime, there was a requirement for students and their coaches who were affiliated with those sports programs to also engage in testing. And so they were able to also use that Color platform for PCR testing so that they could meet those mandates that were required by CDPH to engage in those sports sport competitions out of the county and in the county. At the end of the school year, we received, TCSOS received what is called a CLIA waiver, and that allows us to administer the antigen Binex test, and that's a rapid test. We get the results in about 20 minutes, and so that's another option that we are rolling out to school districts. So we either partner with the school district to provide training, and they come under my CLIA waiver as a county office, or they can go and get their own CLIA waiver, which none of them have done quite yet, but they could. We have two LVNs coming on board to help school districts with the testing, so we work in partnership with all of the districts in order to make sure that they have access to testing, either on site or that the state testing facility is accessible. So that's our goal as a county office, is to support our districts. Some work directly with us, some work with a partner lab that they have on their own.
So it was kind of a surprise that this was announced about a week before some kids are going back to school. But since you have that structure in place, are you optimistic it'll be a pretty easy turnaround to implement this new directive?
I think the biggest challenge will be communication with staff, since staff don't come on board until usually at the, you know, right before school starts. It'll be difficult to make sure that the staff are onboarded into the systems to ensure that they can sign up for testing and actually receive the test. The mandate, if you read it, does not have while it's effective on August 12th, it doesn't have full implementation requirements until October 15th. So school districts have some time to make sure that their practices are in place and they've got their procedures, and it shouldn't take that long for our county to see that in place for us.
So saying on the topic of COVID, I know a number of students and parents may be curious about protocols that they can expect this coming school year. What are kind of the COVID rules that people need to be aware of?
Well, the CDPH put out their protocols and their requirements at the end of July. Again, right before some schools in California had already started. In Tuolumne County, none of our schools had started, but it is pretty close to the start of the school date. Lots of questions, things that weren't answered in there that have been cleared up. So right now, CDPH requires that all students and staff mask regardless of vaccination status. And that's only in indoor settings, which is different from the guidance that was issued last year. So when they're outside, students can remove their mask. They can eat in their cafeterias. There are not, and the purpose of that is because CDPH understands that we cannot maintain the CDC recommendations on physical distancing in the classrooms. We can't even maintain sometimes 3 feet of distancing, let alone 6. So in order to allow students to all return for the entire day, we knew that we had to at least put in the mitigation measures, the risk reduction measures that would allow all kids to be on campus all day. So masking is part of that requirement. And then the other requirement still is screening daily for staff and students. And temperature checks are no longer a part of that requirement. So that will speed up that process as well. So while the cohorting, social distancing is all gone, we still maintain really good hygienic practices. Everyone should be washing their hands regardless of COVID. That's just good practice. We will be putting in place our surveillance to make sure that people aren't coming to school sick, students or staff, which should have never been happening in the first place. If you're sick, please stay home and get healthy. We want healthy people at school so that they can learn effectively and not spread whatever it is that they're sick with. And but those are the two main requirements that we have right now. And then on top of it, the vaccination and the testing protocol for employees.
You know, say there's a student in a classroom that tests positive for COVID-19. What happens at that point in time? Is the whole class go into quarantine, or is it individual case by case?
It used to be pretty straightforward last year. And because of vaccinations and the masking requirements, CDPH also updated their quarantine protocols. So it's very dependent upon two things. One is the vaccination status of the individuals involved. And the other one, the big one, is the masking status of the individuals involved. So there is a protocol if, for example, a person who is positive is wearing a mask and how far apart they are from everyone else. If they are 6 feet or closer for more than 15 minutes and they're considered a close contact, then we look at masking, we look at vaccination status. We are also able to implement what we call modified quarantine protocols if they can access a test at day 0 and no earlier than day 5, so we can reduce the time that they're in quarantine. It's a lot more complicated than before, but it does allow us some more flexibility.
How about local sports? Are those going to be running this fall?
Yes. That's the short answer. The long answer is right now, the CDPH has not issued guidance on sports, music, or band yet. And they are very much aware that we need that guidance yesterday. We needed that yesterday. And I was on a call yesterday with state public health officers and county office of ed folks like me. And we were telling the CDPH it is really essential we get that guidance. They indicated that they weren't prepared to give us a timeline of when that guidance would be released. The suggestion has been that we look to the CDC and follow those guidelines. And of course, we always work closely with Tuolumne County Public Health and Dr. Serjanko. He's been a great advisor advisor to us about how to proceed so that not only can we start sports and we want to keep it going. We don't want to start sports and then find out that, you know, a whole football team has to be quarantined because there's been an exposure. We really want to not just start, but keep it going once we've got going.
We need to take a break. We're talking with Tuolumne County Superintendent of Schools, Kathy Parker, on this weekend show, talking all things education, looking ahead to the fall semester and the new school year. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment coming up in just a minute.